Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Super happy to be back here on a Monday. Thanks very much for being with us. We have a very fine show for you. We've got fine shows all week this week. But what a great day. What a great start to the week we have today. Second hour, Joel Peters is going to be here. He wrote a popular new book for the Southern Cross Press. Southern Cross Press. So the Catholic Answers Press. Excuse me. I got my presses confused. Sola Scriptura Doesn't Work is the name of the book, and we'll talk about that. If you are an advocate of Sola Scriptura and you want to talk with Joel about that, or if you'd just like to know more about the Catholic view of the practicalities of the Sola Scriptura theology, you're welcome to call second hour. First hour, our good friend Scott Wieman is here. He is the author, of course, of the unforgettably titled. As a matter of fact, I would never get the title of this book wrong, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. And he's the founder of Catholic in Recovery. What we usually do with Scott is if you have a recovery issue that you would like to talk about, your own or someone else's, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, Scott Wieman, thanks for being here.
My pleasure to join you, Cy. Always a pleasure.
I'm really good at that title, don't you think?
You've gotten great, yes.
I've gotten great. Oh,
yes.
Oh, scratching an old wound there.
I'm guessing you have a copy of the book right in front of you that you're referring to.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I think you were breaking up a little bit there for a minute. Scott, first of all, just tell us a little bit about Catholic in Recovery. It's huge. It's growing. I just think it's one of the most wonderful things going on in the church today. Tell us about it.
Yeah. To clarify, we're not talking about like password recovery or anything like that, addiction recovery. And Catholic in Recovery, a community of men and women around the world who are seeking freedom from a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. And we primarily bring people together in fellowship through Catholic in Recovery meetings. We have about 130 active Catholic in Recovery meetings throughout the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, and about 75 virtual meetings that people can attend at any time going on throughout the day, Monday through Sunday. And we blend the spiritual wisdom of the 12 steps with the traditions of the Catholic Church. And it's been a blessing to serve people with a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments related to alcoholism, drug addiction, compulsive overeating, restricted eating, gambling, pornography and lust, codependency, internet and technology, family members impacted by a loved one's addiction, adult children of alcoholics. I could go on and on, but basically those things that keep us distant from God and each other.
CatholicInRecovery.com is where you can go to find out more about it. I did want to compliment you, Scott, because I have a family member who reads the Catholic in Recovery reflections every day and read me Sunday's reflection, said, "Hey, I want to read you this." You wrote it, and it was so good. It was a beautiful reflection. And it's wonderful to see. This is what I guess this is the spirit of the whole thing. But it's wonderful to see the gospel reading, this gospel that we're so familiar with, being related to particularly to the struggles and the gifts that God has to give those who are in recovery.
Yeah, and there's a lot of practical overlap between the 12 steps in our faith and Scripture. I'm grateful that it was fruitful for you. And we have those reflections available for every day of the week, a volunteer group of contributors who share their own experience, strength, and hope as it relates to addiction and recovery and faith. And we really learn, you know, the best way to share the gospel is through storytelling, through our shared kind of vulnerabilities, our experience, strength, and hope. For us in recovery, we try to share in a general way what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. And that provides, I think, an outlet for people to just break through shame and denial and fear and those things that might keep us from having a true, heartfelt, and sincere relationship with our Lord.
CatholicInRecovery.com, or just call here, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. One thing I always feel obligated to point out is that if you're not trying to replace, you're trying to make a Catholic space for people in recovery. You're not trying to replace the hospital or the other program or anything. But this mm-hmm. is, as we just discussed, one of the great gifts of the Catholic faith is that there's so much there of a healing nature for people.
Yeah. I see it as a bridge between recovery from addiction and the Catholic Church, supplemental to, you might say, secular 12-step recovery programs, as the 12 steps formed through Alcoholics Anonymous in the 1930s, had great Catholic influence in its early stages with people like Father Ed Dowling, Sister Ignatia, who really helped pioneer the early days of 12-step recovery. And, since then, other groups have formed, secular groups have formed for overeaters or sexaholics or gamblers or you name it. There is a 12-step group for it. And so we're not trying to take the place or pull all the Catholics out of those groups, but rather provide a place within the church where people can find freedom and share freely about their higher power as Jesus Christ and make reference to how the sacraments or Catholic devotions or scripture or saints are influencing their lives and impacting their recovery, something that would typically be a little out of bounds within a secular 12-step group. And I would say just by nature over the last 80 plus years, those as our culture has become more secularized, that's impacted the ability to share freely about Jesus Christ as our Savior in a 12-step meeting, whereas we are typically encouraged to share in a general way about our higher power or God as we understand Him. But people really appreciate when they find Catholic in recovery the freedom to express God as we know Him as Catholics.
888-318-7884 is the number. Scott Wieman is our guest, Catholic in recovery. If you are in recovery, if you're not in recovery, if it's a family issue, whatever. Mm-hmm. I would think in modern society, it is virtually impossible to be alive and not to have addiction or obsession or compulsive behavior affecting oneself or one's family in one way or another. So you're welcome to call whatever the issue is. Scott's happy to help. Jesus loves you. He wants to heal you. 888-318-7884. Now, one of the things I think, as a matter of fact, the first time we had you on, but I could be wrong about this, it's been years now, was probably right around this time of year, because this is a tough time of year for people.
Yeah, people in general. But those who are impacted by addictions, families and individuals who are impacted by addiction find, I think, a greater level of stress and anxiety, family tension, cultural expectations that come about this time of year, perhaps a sense of loss or loneliness. You know, certainly families who are distant from loved ones because of addiction are often uncertain of how to navigate the holidays. And there's just a general sense of grief that can come. In addition, you know, people are often invited to or family gatherings involve a lot of things like alcohol or food. For those who are compulsive overeaters, can be very challenging how to navigate the food that's present throughout the holiday season. And it's very important that we really double down our efforts in recovery and in the faith life in general, so that we're really celebrating the true reason for the season, as cliche as that might be, and not being distracted by expectations or temptations that can come about. We certainly do not want to be caught off guard. And so the preparation for, you know, the Christmas and Nativity celebrations and even into the new year, can be prudent to start that discussion now rather than figuring out or reacting, what am I going to do once that temptation or that challenge is presented to me?
888-318-7884. There are lines open still. We have a few on the line who we will get to when we come back. Scott Wieman is our guest. He's the founder of Catholic in Recovery. As I've said, you can go to Catholic in Recovery to find out more about that, in-person meetings, online meetings, and all kinds of resources for you there. 888-318-7884 is the number if you'd like to talk with Scott right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more in step with the liturgical rhythm of the church on the web at magnificat.com.
Hi, this is Father Daniel Brandenburg from the Legionaries of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a sinner, and I need to go to confession. Sometimes people think that priests don't need to go to confession, but that's not the case at all. Priests are sinners just like you and me. We need God's grace. We are all falling short of what God calls us to. And confession not only wipes away our sins, but it also gives us actual grace. So I encourage you all to make a good confession, to trust in the Lord, and to grow in His grace. God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Scott Wieman is our guest, and now these programs with Scott have grown in popularity. I don't know if popularity is the right word, but because they're much more than just popular. I mean, I think they're very helpful to people. That we're doing them several times a year now, but it started as a holiday thing. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. If you have recovery issues that you would like to talk to Scott about, particularly from a Catholic perspective, you are welcome to do so, but certainly anyone is welcome to call. I believe Scott and I agree on the following points. Jesus loves everyone and wants everyone to be healed. Am I correct that we agree on that, Scott Wieman?
Amen, brother.
888-318-7884. Bob's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You get us started today, Bob. Thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Thanks for taking my call. So I'm a convert. I converted at 33 years old from a mainline Protestant background. And upon becoming Catholic, over the years, I've discovered that some of the teachings that we have as Catholics, some of the things we consider grievous sins, and I'm dancing around some sensitive sexual issues, subject matter, that I was never taught was a sin as a Protestant. And so I become a Catholic, and I'm faced with, hey, wait a second, these aren't only habitual behaviors, but they're actual grievous sins. And and so as a Catholic now, I find myself fighting through some of these attachments, bad behavior, habitual behaviors, and it's been a bit of a struggle.
Yeah. Well, Bob, can I ask a question? How would you define sin? How would you define the term sin, so we can have a better conversation?
Oh, probably missing the mark, okay, completely. But teachings of the Catholic Church on certain issues, sexual issues, are in a Protestant faith. They never talked about any of it. They never talked about any of these behaviors as being a sin. They never really mentioned sin in and of itself at all so much. Yeah. And then when I become Catholic and I go through the RCIA and over the course of years now, some of these habitual habits I had picked up as, you know, a young man up to 33, I still find myself struggling through some of these behaviors, okay, and attachments.
Yeah. I appreciate that, and I'll offer. I don't think it matters really what the specific thing is. It might be pornography use. It might be masturbation. It might be acting out in same-sex attraction. Those things, we see all the time people coming to Catholic in recovery as lifelong challenges and, you know, compulsive behaviors that one can't overcome themselves, regardless of how much they try and commit to themselves. We need the grace and the Spirit of God in order to be there with us. And so, I think, sin as being an act or a behavior or a thought or an attitude that keeps us distant from God, the natural consequence of sin is that distance from God and from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so regardless of what it is, if we find that it is keeping our our faith, our spiritual wellness, but also I think it's valuable to look at even human wellness. You know, is it having an impact in our family relationships? Is it having an impact in our commitments at work and things like that? And if that's true, I would say that it's worth the attention of, and it can be really easy to just point our fingers at something else that it might be. But the rich history of the church, in particularly in, as it relates to sexual behavior, sexual acting out, has taught us that sex outside of marriage with another person or with oneself is sinful, and that can have long-term ramifications in our spirit, in our soul, in our ability to, in our willingness to surrender and say yes to God. And, you know, in preparation for that final yes to God, I think is important that we take a look at it and connect with others who have been through similar situations, who can share about how they've navigated these questions. And so, you know, anyone who's listening today who is struggling with that same, with a similar question, is this sinful? Is this habitual? Does this need my attention? How desperate of a solution do I need? Should probably confront that and seek resources and community and a group of people who can really share with them that they're not alone, that this is, that there are solutions, and yes, that this is certainly worth your efforts to find recovery from.
Is that helpful to you, Bob?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes.
All right. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. Just one line open, but if you get on it, we'll do our very best to get you on with Scott Wieman. We're talking addiction and recovery, especially around this holiday time, a great time to have these conversations. But we're always delighted when Scott is here. If you have questions, whether you're Catholic or not, 888-318-7884. Dominic's in Lincoln, Illinois, listening on 88.9 FM. Hello, Dominic. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Thank you. In a nutshell, would I benefit greatly if I put a lot more of my attention on the day that I'm going to meet him face to face? The day that suddenly, sorry not to get a little emotional, but thinking about it, the day that there will be no more interruption, you know, no more distraction at all, because I'm getting the vibe that that's his favorite thought. That's his favorite thought. And so why shouldn't it be my favorite thought and have that be, well, the fuel, or at least a main fuel for me to want to learn more about him and be more obedient and enjoy, you know, joyful obedience? It seems that that's the way Christ taught and the apostles taught. It seems to me in my recovery, right, in my recovery, that it might be one of the main things, if not the main thing, that's lacking. It seems to me that Christ, he spoke of heaven, and it's like when he wasn't saying it directly, mentioning the name of heaven or the kingdom of heaven, he was pointing directly at it. You know, with his in some type of gesture, and well, like I say, you know, and I mean, I'm talking about everything about heaven, right? You know, Bob, not just the way it's going to look or the way it's going to feel or anything like that. And kingdom of heaven is in us. I get that, but and in our actions, we are a part of the kingdom of heaven already. I understand, but. Everyone that I've spoke with, pastors or anybody, you know, say that back then, a couple thousand years ago, or even 1,000 years ago, they thought about death way more than most people do today. And that means something.
Dominic,
you know?
It does indeed mean something. Hang on, Dominic. Dominic, hang on a quick second, because I'm going to let Scott respond to what you said, and then I'll come back and check back in with you.
Yeah, I love the spirit that you're sharing with Dominic, and I think that the emphasis on life eternal is really important for us Christians and Catholics. And I would encourage even the practice of attending funerals that aren't a family members within your parish to keep our eyes on heaven and be aware of the brevity of this life and the contrast to eternity. And as you were sharing, Dominic, I couldn't help but think of the Serenity Prayer. And likely we're familiar with the beginning few lines of the Serenity Prayer, but I think in its fullness, it speaks to exactly what you're saying. And in fact, I want to pray it, encourage those who are listening or watching to pray it with me and hear the fullness of it, very Christian in nature and its fullness. And that prayer goes, and this is a prayer that I've prayed, 100 times a day in my early recovery and multiple times a day, every day ever since then. And that is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. And I think that there's some wisdom within that, the accepting hardship as the pathway of peace, and particularly those last few lines, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next, speaks to what you're saying, that, too oftentimes, especially when we are enslaved by an addiction, we are prioritizing our short-term pleasure or power or honor or wealth over the long-term vision of God's kingdom. And we would be wise for our benefit and the benefit of others and the benefit of the world to have our eyes set on the eternal. So I think that can be absolutely applicable to any of us in recovery, anyone seeking recovery, and for all of those trying to practice our Catholic faith one day at a time.
I said I'd go back to Dominic, but we've lost Dominic. Maybe he'll call back. I don't know. But Dominic, thank you for the call. I hope that that was helpful to you. The number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking addiction and recovery with the founder of Catholic in Recovery, Scott Wieman. And there are a couple lines open if you'd like to fill one of them up. 888-318-7884. Sarah is in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Sarah, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. My question is about my daughter, actually, who is dating someone rather seriously. They've been dating for a year. She's young. She's 20, and he's a couple years older. And he, she has shared with me there have been a few times, maybe two or three, where she has learned that he had been drinking alone to an excess. Has a little history, I think, in the family of depression. And so my question really isn't so much about recovery, but just, is there anything that I can do to help this young girl, help my daughter? She is not inclined to talk with him directly about this or lay out any expectations. And so just really wanting to know for advice for an early, for someone in this position, and also just saying that I think he comes from a wonderful family, beautiful family. There is some drinking that happens in the family, like by tradition or over celebrations and holidays and such. And so I just worry about this a bit for him and maybe stand down the line for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for calling, Sarah. And a great, loving, and thoughtful and prudent question out of concern for your daughter and the man that she's dating. I think, these are important things to take into consideration. And, we see addiction as a family spiritual disease that not just impacts the person who is the individual with the addiction, compulsion, or unhealthy attachment, but it has ramifications throughout the family system, whether with spouses, parents, children, and beyond that. And so, whether or not you can have an impact in maneuvering him, I don't think that was the essence of the call of how can I help fix this guy, but rather I think just informing your daughter on, what to look forward to and giving her making all the information available to her in what does a family that's impacted by addiction or that is, where alcoholism is present. I assume that they have hopes if they do get married down the road to have children and how that can be impactful. And so I would strongly encourage her to just do some research on what does addiction look like in a family, learn about the nature of addiction, how it manifests biologically, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, And just so that she knows what she's getting herself into, your call is actually reminded me a lot of when I was in my early 20s, dating a girl who was 20 years old and came from a great Catholic family. And I came from a family, a great family, not so much with an emphasis on Catholicism, but her mother was someone who I attribute, 6 years later when I finally got sober, I attribute her prayers for me to my recovery, to my success in recovery. Now, that recovery took place after we had broken up because addiction and alcoholism had put a great strain on our relationship. I was hiding things from her. I was being dishonest at times. I was isolated in my drinking and alone regularly, and just unable to show up when really needed the most. And so perhaps even just talking to her about what are some of the signs to look for, if it leads to dishonesty, if it leads to deceit or manipulation, if there's isolation in drinking, if she's being pulled from really what's valuable and important to her, her faith, her family, and other commitments that are really healthy for her in life, just providing all the facts and providing some education and having those discussions, just being a place where she can turn to when she's perhaps experiencing some of these challenges. That's what you can do as your role as her mother.
Sarah, as you can hear the music, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with more. Scott Wieman.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world. But it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
When it comes to Catholic teachings about Mary, there's one question we hear more than any other. Where is that in the Bible? The answer? Everywhere. In Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God, Father John Weiss opens Scripture to reveal a Mary who has been hiding in plain sight. Order your copy of Bible Mary today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Join me for Beacon of Truth today at 4 p.m. Eastern.
On the next Beacon of Truth, Dr. Shane Owens talking about the Emmaus Academy.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, we'll talk about Sola Scriptura with the author of the new Catholic Answers book, Sola Scriptura Doesn't Work. You are welcome to call, whether you are an aficionado of Sola Scriptura or not, next hour. This hour, we're talking with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery and the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, that unforgettable title. And you are welcome to call if you have questions about addiction, recovery. If you're Catholic, that's fine. If you're not Catholic, that's fine. If you're religious, that's fine. If you're not religious, anybody can call 888-318-7884. I'm thinking about going back to the phone lines, but did I forget anything? Scott, is there something else I should mention?
No, I will note, we do also have the Catholic in Recovery workbook, which is a sacramental guide through the 12 steps. And if anyone's curious about, you know, I hear good things about the 12 steps, but I maybe even don't even recognize or identify as having a particular addiction, but want to find out why people who are in recovery find, you know, are so serene or peaceful or enjoying a joyful life, I would encourage check out the Catholic in Recovery workbook, which is a sacramental guide through the 12 steps. And I think if you're breaking, you just need a breakthrough to find some new peace or freedom, check that out. And we're also going to be launching the Recovery Rosary, meditation for those impacted by addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments in the spring. I'm sure we'll be on air before that to tell more about that, but I want to draw some attention to a new resource that we have made available coming soon in April 2025.
Find out about all this stuff at CatholicInRecovery.com. And can we be like the first show where you come on and talk about the rosary? I want to get you scheduled right now. I want to be...
Absolutely.
All right, we are at the forefront of Catholic radio here, if nothing else. Let's go to Hastings, Michigan. Our friend Aaron is on the line. Aaron, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hey, Scott. Question is, how do I... I have an addiction to pornography and masturbation, and I'm trying to figure out how in the world to beat that.
You want to tell us a little bit more about... in a general way, kind of what you've tried and what the struggle is?
Right now, it's been a while since I gave into it, but right now and then, a struggle is when I'm alone and lonely and everything. Right? That's when I tend to want to give into it.
Yep.
Like, for example, if I'm over at a friend's house who has internet, and she actually did something that did help. So she has it to where she can monitor it on her phone. And since then, I have not even used her computer. It actually all started when I was younger. My brother introduced me to self-pleasing area of that, and it started out with like the music videos for like the secular pop and all that.
I'm loath to interrupt you, but we're missing a few words. There's a little bit of a technical problem. So Scott, if you could just address it in general.
Yeah, take it from here. Absolutely. Aaron, thank you. Thank you for calling in. And I think the first really step in, not only the first step, but the 12 steps is admitting we are powerless over fill in the blank, alcohol, drugs, lust, food, gambling, internet and technology, screens, that my life has become unmanageable, is recognizing that I can't do this my own. And in fact, the first three steps are summarized as I can't, God can, I ought to let him. And your question can be applicable to anyone listening or anyone who's struggling with any sort of an addiction, whether related to lust, food, drugs, gambling, you name it. And that is to admit the problem, share it in a safe place, and build the desperate the desperation that's required in order to overcome it. And you're not going to be able to overcome it yourself. You'll need the strength of God and I think fellowship in order to find that healing that you're needing. And, you know, it's one thing just to put down the food, the bottle, the pornography, whatever it might be, but real recovery means getting to the heart of it. Healing means getting to the root and the overcoming the ism, if you will. And that ism plays out in those addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments I see as just a symptom of this deeper spiritual malady or spiritual wound, where oftentimes is accompanied by fear, resentment, denial, dishonesty with ourselves and others and God. And so five daily habits that I would encourage anyone who is seeking recovery and new life, if you're building a commitment today or want to overcome this, do these five things every day, and you'll be hard-pressed. I think you're going to find success, and that is, one, ask God in the morning as soon as you can to keep you sober today, keep you sober, free, abstinent, however you might define that freedom. In prayer, in desperate prayer, get on your knees, is strongly encouraged to get in a place of humility and desperate longing for God's aid and assistance. Second, attend a recovery meeting or connect with others who know where you are and have found a solution to your challenges. The third is connect with another person in recovery outside of one of those meetings, have a conversation. Sooner or later, that's going to be someone who has is seeking their own recovery themselves. And by giving back what we've been freely given, we find new purpose and new life and almost an insurance policy against the next acting out. Number four would be to read some recovery literature and or scripture. I would encourage about 15 minutes a day. And the fifth is to thank God in the evening for your sobriety, abstinence, clean time, however you might define that. A sixth bonus extra credit daily practice would be to harbor and practice gratitude. And there are a variety of ways that that can be done. We did recently launch a 90-day really pathway for recovery. So CatholicInRecovery.com, you can sign up for this 90-day pathway of recovery where we send a daily email, helps with accountability and encouragement and inspiration and direction for getting those early, really essential first 90 days or 3 months of recovery, building a solid foundation for one's recovery, where we get into each of those daily habits in detail, learning how to find someone who can be a mentor or a guide, or as we refer to them in recovery, a sponsor, who can be in, you know, outside of your family life or work life, someone that you can rely on, who's been in your shoes, and who can share with you what you need to, you know, really the direction and the hope and the inspiration, and help put your hands in the hands of God. And then later, you're going to start working through the 12 steps, which is designed to find freedom from a compulsive or an addictive behavior or substance, which we previously couldn't find freedom from ourselves, and learn how to surrender to God, how to take responsibility for what is ours and not take responsibility for what's not ours, how to heal relationships and provide some reconciliation in our relationship, stay connected to God on a regular daily basis, and then give back what was freely given to us and live a purposeful and joyful and free life.
Aaron, I'm going to leave it. I can't come back to Aaron because it was just difficult to make out exactly all the words. So I'm going to just say thanks, and I hope that was helpful to you. And for anybody listening, the website, CatholicInRecovery.com. Our guest, Scott Wieman, is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. Now, hundreds and thousands of people involved in chapters all around, including online. If it's something that would be helpful to you, check it out at CatholicInRecovery.com. Frank's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on 1570 AM. Glad you're here, Frank. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm calling, Scott. I've been sober since March of 2020. Currently, I'm not thinking about drinking. I haven't thought about it for 3 years. The first year and a half, 2 years, was kind of hard a little bit, but I'm still sober. I got a ton of medical problems, and there's no cure for them. It's a genetic mutation. I'm housebound. I only leave the house, go to doctors, and my life stinks pretty much. I mean, I'd rather be dead than alive. I don't know what to do. I mean, I was going to Mass until about 5 years ago. Two of my priests and my parish told me, stop coming, I'm going to get hurt. I kept going for another 4 to 6 months, so I couldn't do it no more. I get my Mass through the radio, and I pray a lot. By praying a lot, I mean three rosaries, plus Hail Mary, Glory Be, St. Andrew, St. Anthony, St. Michael, St. Raphael, Bishop Newman, and so forth. But I mean, I'm content, but I'm not happy. My life stinks. And what do you think?
Yeah, so Frank, thanks for calling, and praise God that you found sobriety. And I think what you're describing is what we referred to with the last caller, is you can put down the drink or the drug or the lust or the food, but if we're not really getting to the root of that ism, we're going to be left unhappy and perhaps even hopeless. And so I'm curious, Frank, what was helpful in you making that turn in March of 2020 to find, at least to put the bottle down?
Well, Scott, the funny part was I was trying to get sober since, 2011. I was got between a couple of days to 119 days. I kept failing all the time. That time I had 3 months, I think. I drank for one more week, and on March 21st, I said, I'm tired, I'm beat. My body couldn't take it anymore. I said to myself, I know I'm going to drink again, so don't say you're never going to drink again. And for the first time, I said, I know I'm going to drink again. Just give yourself a chance to recover for a week or two or a couple of days so you feel better, and then drink again. But not, I can't do it today. And I kept saying that same old, same old. That's what got me sober.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I still prayed all the time and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, what, you know, describes the two things, two characteristics that describe the problem drinker or the problem thinker or the problem, you name the addiction or compulsion, the behavior of the substance, is first the mental obsession, which accompanies us, and that is that when we're not engaging in the behavior, we're obsessing about it. And the second is a physical allergy, that once we ingest or enact in the behavior or the substance, that we are powerless and all we can think about is more. And that is a deadly combination. And so, Frank, I think that would, you know, what I would encourage you, Frank, is to engage in some kind of fellowship. And by the grace of God, now, you know, through a lot of virtual and online communities, we can find that connection, even if we can't physically put our arms around each other. And so I would invite you to participate in a virtual Catholic in Recovery meeting and, you know, go to CatholicInRecovery.com. You can find other, you know, 12-step meetings as well that have virtual opportunities for fellowship as well. But, you know, I think that you'll appreciate the ability to share freely about your faith and those Catholic devotions that you described in meetings and recognize that you're not alone. And there is a great power in that and the hope that can spring from that and new life and purpose and joy that can come from that. And, yeah, whether it's a general recovery meeting, we have an excellent Wednesday night and Friday night men's recovery meetings. On the Wednesday night meeting takes place 8:30 Eastern time. You'll find that in our meeting calendar at CatholicInRecovery.com. And I want to also take this opportunity, too, to mention that during the Christmas, or during Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, throughout the day, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we're going to have a Catholic in Recovery Christmas meeting marathon, where for 40-plus hours, we'll have people available on a Zoom line. You can find that. That'll be posted on our website here soon. But who are available there just to be in connection and to share hope or share glad tidings or to meet us in our grief or loss or challenge. And because it is such a time where we might feel that loneliness, and that loneliness that isolation is not good for us as humans in our spirit or our body, mind, or soul. And so I think that there is opportunity. I know that the limits of being homebound make it harder to connect one-on-one with people, perhaps, but would encourage you to find some kind of community, either through the phone or through the virtual setting.
Frank, that brings us right to the break. I hope that that was helpful to you. We got to take the break. We'll be right back with more Scott Wieman on Catholic Answers Live. And if you call now, we probably got room to get one more caller, maybe even two, on with Scott, 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
There are a lot of ways to pray. When I was in the evangelical world, we didn't like rote prayers that the Catholics prayed. Nah, we wanted to say our own prayers. We thought that it was coming more from the heart. Any kind of prayer, whether it comes from the heart and is a loose connection of words, or it is a prayer that the church has had for centuries, is good because it is prayer.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Scott Wieman is our guest. I don't know how many years we've been doing this, but we've been doing this for years. How many years have you been doing Catholic in Recovery? Like, when did it start? Do you remember?
Yeah, it started formally in 2015.
So holy smokes, you're coming up on 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the first time I did an interview here on Catholic Answers was in 2017 as the 12 Steps in the Sacraments was published in November, and it was right around that time.
If you want to talk with Scott here, 888-318-7884. However, I have two questions for him that I got to get to first. One, we had a caller on the line who didn't stay on the line but asked the question that I know other people think of when they hear you. How do you start a local chapter of Catholic in Recovery?
Yeah, always happy to help. On our website, CatholicInRecovery.com, there is an option. One of the menu options is support and serve. And then the first top menu option from there is start a group. And fill out that form, a very brief form to fill out. That will then prompt us to reach out to you to set up a meeting, walk you through the process. You know, a few requirements include that you're in recovery yourself or have a group of people who have recovery experience, because you can't give away what you don't have. And recovery is not taught through a curriculum, but is taught through shared experience, strength, and hope. But we would be glad to walk you through that process. We have the resources, both physical and digital materials, to help get the group started. And every Monday I meet with those who are in the process of getting new groups started, as well as those who are representing existing groups, both in person and in virtual meetings. And we have an hour-long Catholic in Recovery meeting where we share best practices and common challenges of getting those groups started and kind of seeing them built, and is a place where you would be invited to upon an initial conversation. And those actually take place twice on Mondays.
All right. Check it out. Catholic in Recovery. Well, you get all this information at Catholic in Recovery. You can probably also find out about the other thing I'm going to ask Scott about before I go back to the phones. You have a podcast now? You're a podcaster?
Yes. And that actually just, you know, that probably happened. The initial thought of a podcast probably happened in studio on air about 2 years ago. And finally, my Father Sean Kilcawley, who was a priest out of Lincoln, Nebraska, who I think is the greatest in the country as speaking about and with personal, clinical, and pastoral experience.
Wow.
Helping people overcome various addictions. Him and I are releasing every other week episodes. The Catholic in Recovery podcast can be watched on YouTube on the Catholic in Recovery YouTube channel, or can also be listened to on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. So we're diving through various topics. We're right now just kind of going through the getting started, really, you know, overcoming denial, the first meeting experience, how to find a sponsor, navigating holidays and events are some of the first episodes that we've released, and have plenty more to get through in the coming, weeks, months, and years.
Wonderful. And so you go to the YouTube, or say again, where else can you get the, like anywhere where you get podcasts?
Yeah. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, other places where podcasts are made available.
All right, on we go. Marie's in Illinois listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Glad you're here, Marie. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about my brother. He has been what I call a functioning alcoholic for many years. Go to work and then, you know, sit at the bar all night. Was able to get up, go to work, do it all over again. About 2.5 years ago, he got to the point with basically alcohol poisoning that he couldn't walk, and he ended up in the hospital for a week, and then he came home with me to heal and hopefully be able to walk again, and he's doing fabulous. I tried to get him to go to like an AA. I introduced him to a couple of guys in the parish that are recovering alcoholics. And, you know, he knows them, he met them, he doesn't talk to them, you know, he's a very introverted person. My question is, can somebody actually do this all on their own? I have questioned whether, you know, he has been drinking. I did catch him inebriated once, and I don't know how to react. I think I reacted poorly when I caught him intoxicated once. I don't know what I can do, and I know he's the one that needs to want to get the help. But he's by himself quite a bit of the day, and we live out on a farm.
Yeah. I appreciate your question, and I can sense the sincerity and love and care that stems from. And you know, the brief answer is that we can't get anyone sober, and we can't force, you know, anyone to do anything. We can certainly care for ourselves, and we can install and maintain healthy boundaries with those that we love. I'm certain that there are others who are calling or who are listening, who are thinking to themselves, how do I help my spouse, my child, my parent, my whatever the relative might be, my brother and or sister, and how can I help them to get that? Unfortunately, we can't instill the willingness and the desperate desire for new life in other people. We can certainly, however, practice some, I think, essential habits for family members impacted by a loved one's addiction. Those healthy habits include loving with detachment. And that might sound cold at first, but I think it's really essential that we separate ourselves in some ways from the behavior and don't tolerate the consequences, or especially don't help to soften the consequences of one's actions, especially as they relate to their alcoholism and addiction, because that just takes away their own propensity to want to stop and their own desperate hope to change. But certainly in a separate but hopeful way, we can pray for our loved ones, but you know, live our lives in a way that is not, our happiness, joy, and faith is not contingent upon whether they're acting in a sober way or not. And yeah, I would say encourage, you know, prayers, but honest conversations. We oftentimes, you know, in families that are impacted by addiction, there's almost the unspoken rule of don't talk, don't think, don't feel. And we certainly avoid talking about the elephant in the room. And so mustering the courage to bring it up, not in a way that's prying at all, but just in a way that really comes from your own experience, your own personal experience with this. This, when you act like this, this is how that impacts me. And I really want to see you at your best, and I care for you. And I'm not going to allow the addiction or the alcoholism to call the shots in the family anymore, essentially. Now, the best way to get to that state is to connect with others. And we have plenty of meetings available for families and friends impacted by a loved one's addiction, where we can learn how to engage in those practices, loving detachment, attitude of separate but hopeful, and then our own self-discovery. And in what ways are we behaving that might subconsciously allow the addiction to call the shots in the family. That's helpful.
I hope it's helpful too. And I'm going to leave it there because I want to try to get everybody on if I can who has called for Scott. So thank you, Marie. Yeah. Again, Scott Wieman, Catholic in Recovery. And you can go to CatholicInRecovery.com to find all the materials. Richard in New York City is next. Richard, go ahead with your question.
Well, hello, Scott. And hello, thank you for taking my call. I just want to commend you for the work that you're doing. I work in the field. I am both a New York Certified Peer Specialist and also a New York Certified Peer Recovery Advocate. And, you know, just the mention of the name of Jesus is taboo. Like, you don't mention that, Richard. Don't talk about faith. Don't talk about matters of faith. However, if the client or the patient that I'm serving brings up matters of faith, then I can engage. Then I can talk about the Lord, which is good. But outside of that, it's taboo. So your organization is a breath of fresh air. It like gives me a sense of hope. Hopefully we can do something also in the mental health community, which is needed desperately. You know, as you know, ultimately Christ is our healer. And I just wanted to take the time to commend you for the great work that you're doing. And hopefully somehow I can connect to help you here in New York, which we need you desperately.
Mm. Scott, you've got about 45 seconds if you want to respond to Richard.
Well, Richard, praise God. Thank you for your dedication and service and looking out for others. This is exactly why Catholic in Recovery exists, to provide a place within the church. And, you know, because these topics are often avoided on a family level. We try not to think of them as individuals, but also I think on a church level and community levels, we tend to avoid the elephant in the room, these conversations that are really challenging to have, that are deep, that are complex and nuanced. But it's about time, and I think it's important that we advocate for addiction addiction recovery and not shy away from these difficult and challenging conversations. So, Richard, God bless you, and you know, praise God that we've been able to help people and just do the will of God one day at a time.
Richard, how beautiful to hear a person on the right on the cutting edge like yourself say, "Christ is our healer." That nothing could be truer than that statement. Christ is our healer, Richard. Thank you. Our guest has been Scott Wieman this hour. As I've been saying, you can find out all about what he does at CatholicInRecovery.com. Catholic in Recovery, almost 10 years old now, with hundreds of meetings, including online and in person. If you want to start one, check it out at CatholicInRecovery.com. Also, please do not forget the unforgettable book, 12 Steps and the Sacraments. Scott Wieman, I hope you have a Merry Christmas, you and all those lovely little ones you have.
Thank you, Si. Always a pleasure. Merry Christmas to you.
You too. Thank you. All right. We'll be right back. We'll talk about Sola Scriptura next hour. Whether you are yes or no on Sola Scriptura, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.